Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, our King, and from God, our King, our Father in heaven. Amen. We're looking at the Sermon on the Mountain, so you can picture yourself. You know, they have these sheep, mountain sheep, ram paths going up through the hills and the slopes up into these high, lofty places where no man usually ascends. And here Jesus goes up the slopes of this great mountain. And you can just picture yourself walking with him through these animal paths, perhaps, up to a place off by itself, perhaps with a great vista. And there you sit down with your Lord Jesus Christ, the King himself, and he teaches you about his kingdom and the hearts of those who are to be in his kingdom. Let's take a look at what he says today in the Sermon on the Mount, the next verse. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Then verse 8, he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's talk about that today and see what Jesus is really after. What's he trying to say here? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The first thing that jumps out at me here is, what's he after? Blessed are the pure in heart. Heart. He's after what? That which is inside of us, right? The word there in the Greek is cardia, from which you get words like cardio. I'm going to do my cardio, right? My heart. You get other words like cardiac arrest. That's where your heart. But Jesus isn't talking about physical heart. He's talking about what? Your spiritual heart, the center of who you are, the seat of your emotions and will and desires and the center of you. What's deep, deep inside you, at your core. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, at your core, in the center of who you are. You shall see God. And so this is a theme, do you know, in all of Scripture. God is not so much after, although he certainly is interested in our works, but he's not so much after the outward appearance of things, right? The outward shell. He's after what's on the inside of you, right? Amen? You could look at Scriptures and go see this everywhere. For example, just a few here. Proverbs 4, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." In every direction, right? You could jump over here in Deuteronomy 4. God said, "Only take heed and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which you've seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life." Or jump over here, way into the future, into Jeremiah. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll punish all those who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised. Egypt, Judah, Edom, and the sons of Ammon, Moab, and all who dwell in the desert that cut the corners of their hair, for all these nations are uncircumcised." Then watch this. He says, "And all the house of Israel is circumcised in heart." Right? What's God after? What's the King after in you? Your heart, right? What's at the core of you, deep inside of you. That's what God's after. "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord," said David in our psalm. "Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who doesn't lift up his soul to what's false and doesn't swear deceitfully." So God is after, blessed are the pure in heart. He's after the core. He wants the core of you clean and pure. What kind of clean? Well, first of all, why does Jesus need to teach this? Well, in his day, if you think about the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees and the scribes, etc., what were they emphasizing? The outward appearance of things, right? Outward religious duties. They thought they were super, you know, Superman righteous because they washed their hands before dinner, before they ate. They kept the Sabbath day and only had so many steps. Their little step ticker right here, they made sure they didn't take too many steps on the Sabbath day. They sometimes fasted twice a week. They ate the kosher food. If we eat the kosher food, we're righteous. These are all outward things. Jesus says, what I'm after is not kosher food. I'm after a kosher heart, right? Purity on the inside. The Pharisees, they're after what's on the outside. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," said Jesus. "You're hypocrites. If you cleanse the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside, You're full of greed and self-indulgence. You Pharisees and scribes, said Jesus, you're like whitewashed tombs. You know, you look beautiful on the outside, but inside of you, there are dead men's bones. What's Jesus after? Not the outward appearance of looking like a super Christian or looking like a super righteous guy. It's the inside, a pure heart. God's always after the inside of us. He said, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You know, unkosher food. That's not what defiles you. He says, because it just goes into the stomach and passes on. But what comes out of your mouth, that's what defiles you. Why? Because it's coming out of your heart, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaking. And inside your hearts, Jesus says, are fornication, theft, adultery, murder, and all such things. The heart, says Jeremiah, is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? And so do we need to be on guard about this too? Well, you could say, oh, it's just the Pharisees, it's just the scribes, but you could do that as a Christian too. I go to church on Sunday, right? I give a tithe of my offerings, of my money. I go to Sunday school. I go to the potlucks. I wear the little Christian lapel or the Christian tie. I do the outward Christian observances. I go to Easter and Christmas services. But, you know, you could do all these things, and those are great. But what is God really after again? The heart. Is your heart in it? Is this is where God is working and maneuvering and desiring and interested in. It's here. Because out of this heart flow the springs of life, everything else you do, your relationship with him. You know, if I were to say I love Beth and I just did everything right on the outside but didn't really love her on the inside, what would that be? That'd be a farce, right? I mean, you love your wife from your heart and then it pours out into your life, right? God's after your heart with me, God says. Blessed are you when you're pure in heart, he says. So what's a pure heart? The word there in the Greek for pure is katharos, which means pure, clean, clear, unsoiled, and unsullied. Does that look like your heart? Well, let's just describe pure for a second. Let me get here. Like the pure water of a fresh mountain stream, right? Absolutely beautiful. Look at that. Pure, nothing unsullied, nothing unclear. I mean, nothing sullied, nothing unclear. It's just pure, just like the driven snow, right? Like just a mountain stream or pouring up fresh water from the underground aquifers of Florida, you get pure water. Is that what your heart looks like? That's what God is after, right? He wants a heart that is full of honesty and uprightness and integrity and a forthright goodness about you. Purify your hearts. So is that what you look like? Do you see a problem developing here? Right? Blessed are the pure in heart, and we would love this. Wouldn't you love this if that's what your heart looked like? The trouble is, what does our heart often look like? Yep, it often looks like this, right? Oh, it's bad, right? Because when we look at our hearts, actually on the inside, when I think of this verse, I think, blessed are the pure in heart. Oh, wouldn't that be lovely if my heart were just perfectly pure in all things. And I had nothing unsullied or nothing evil in it. But you know what? When I want to do the right thing, just like Paul said, what happens? Evil lies close at hand, right? Don't you feel that? The immediate healing, you're thinking something, you want to think something noble and good and right, and then boom, these wicked thoughts come into your head, and you're like, ugh, that's terrible. And you look inside of yourself, and you're appalled sometimes that you're not pure as the driven snow. And that might trouble you with this verse, right? Blessed are the pure in heart. Oh my goodness, I don't seem very pure. Paul says, I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is, in my flesh, I can will what's right, but I can't do it. For I don't do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do, he says. For I know that sin dwells within me. Yeah, I did find out that this cup leaks. All right, but I'll clean it up, Vivian, don't worry. So how can we have a pure heart? I mean, fresh driven snow, a mountain rushing stream, perfectly clear, nothing contaminated about it all. A forthright, upright, integrity, honest, good heart before God. This is what we want, right? Amen? And this is what Jesus enjoins or commands and seeks in us. Well, how do we get there? How do you go from this one, the dark one, to this pure, clear water? Well, number one thing you got to do, seems very strange, seems very astonishing, seems kind of crazy, but the first thing you need to do to have a pure heart is to admit that your heart actually looks like this, right? That you do have sin inside of you. What did Jesus say of the heart? He says, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander, Jesus says. So the first thing you need to do to getting to a pure heart is to say that your heart is not pure, right? I have sin in my heart. Like Paul said, I have nothing good in my flesh. Can you confess that? Do you know why that's the first pure and most wonderful thought you've ever had in your life? Because it's the first thought that agrees with, guess who? God. God's judgment of you is that you do have an evil heart. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful. It's very tricky. It's cunning. It tries to trick you. And it's desperately corrupt, says God. Can't you feel that? Say amen. Oh, maybe you need to feel a little harder. For it says in the scripture, here's God's judgment. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that act wisely, that seek after God. They've all gone astray. They're all alike corrupt. There's none that does good. No, not one. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God says through Job, behold, God doesn't even put trust in his angels. The heavens are not clean in his sight. How much less one who's abominable and corrupt, a man who drinks iniquity like water. Yes, out of the heart come evil thoughts, says Jesus. Murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. So the first thing you need to do on the way to this is to admit and see your heart for what it is. Agree with God. And God, when you confess your sins and say, oh God, I'm appalled at what's inside of me, God is like, ooh, 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 I love that. I love that. That's a pure thought because that's the first thought you've had that agrees with me. So what should you do? Repent, right? This is the center of Scripture. Repent of your sins. Confess them. As Job said, God, I'd heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you, and so I repent, despise myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Shortly after that, God restored all his fortunes. So repent, and that's number one. Amen? Say repent. Second thing on your way to a clear and pure heart, whoa, hang on. Looks like, I won't even say what it looks like up here. All right. Who put these glasses over there away in the cupboard and had leaks in them? I don't know. Maybe I did. At any rate, the second thing to do is to call on the name of Jesus Christ for mercy, right? That's your second thought. That's agreement with God and his word. And his judgment is once you've repented, call on Jesus Christ. I've sent him to be your Savior. For God so loved the world that everyone and gave his Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What's God do to you when you believe on Jesus Christ? He cleanses you of your sins, right? That's what you need. If you're an impure heart, you need it cleansed. Because when it's cleansed, it's purified and then made to be sparkling clean without any sin. That's what Jesus does for us. This one leaks too. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. If you want to be pure and have a pure heart, repent. Believe on Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life as a gift of the Lord God. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, God's faithful. God is just and he will forgive your sins and cleanse you, right? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Every stain and spot and wickedness and evil and fornication and murder that comes out of the heart, God says, I'll cleanse you of all these through the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. That's what and so therefore, Peter says this in Acts 15, when he converted the Gentiles, Cornelius and his family, he says, and God who knows the heart bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us Jews, and he made no distinction between us and them, but cleansed their hearts by faith. So when you believe in Jesus Christ, your hearts are cleansed by faith and made pure. That's beautiful. So repent, number one. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, number two. But then as a Christian, you might say, but I look inside and I'm appalled. I still see sin in there, don't you? Don't you still feel it? You can see it's still not as pure. It's not like the driven snow or a mountain stream. There's still a problem here. There's still a problem here, Lord. And so what do? God puts his Holy Spirit into your heart to daily transform you into the image of Jesus Christ and cleanse and purify your heart. Listen to what it says here. It says, Paul says in 2 Timothy, if anyone purifies himself from what's ignoble, then he'll be a vessel for noble use, consecrated and useful to the master of the house, ready for any good work. Therefore, shun youthful passions, you know, lusts and all this stuff, and aim at righteousness, faith and love, along with those who call upon God from a pure heart. So, what do you need to do for a pure heart? Cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he purifies your soul. You know, seek after the things of God. Seek after Jesus Christ, right? And you know what? As you look at Jesus daily, you are changed from one degree of glory to another. You're not going to be perfect overnight in your heart, right? But you're on your way. The Holy Spirit's job in us is to sanctify us. Let's take a look at how that might work. Ready? A bowl. Now here, we finally have something underneath here. And we want to get to something very cleansed. So here we have, right? Here's the Holy Spirit. He comes down from heaven. He's pouring into your heart daily as you follow Jesus, and your soul and your heart looks like this. Even though you're saved, your sins are gone, guess what he starts to do? He starts to pour into you his Holy Spirit. It's all right, Vivian, don't worry about it. He continues to pour it into you, 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 pour it into you every day, every day, every day. And by the end, what are you looking like? Look at that. It wasn't all perfect the first pour I did, right? In fact, some of it's on the floor. But the more you pour and the more you walk with Christ, the more he changes you into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to another. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. God doesn't expect you to be perfect the first day you come to Christ. But as you walk with him every day, more and more and more and more and more, it just pushes out the bad, and your heart, by God's grace, gets pure. Of course, you're never going to be perfect in this life to the final degree, but that's coming on the day of the Lord. For it's written, everyone who thus hopes in Christ purifies himself as he is pure. Isn't that beautiful? So what's the promise? A pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Can you imagine that? Actually getting to see the smiling face of your Father, whom the angels see, whom no mortal flesh can see. Because Moses in the Old Testament wanted to see God's face, and God said to him, you can't see my face, for man shall not see me and live. When I pass by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, I'll cover you up, you can see my back, but you can't see my face, for you can't look on me and live. But then God dwells in is immortal and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. But guess whom you've seen by faith? Jesus, right? And your eyes are upon him. Paul says, now we look through a mirror dimly. We can already kind of see him. But then we're going to get to see him face to face. Oh, what glorious day is ahead of you to see God. And his face, when he looks on you in Jesus Christ, it's going to be a smiling face. It's going to be a joy. It's going to be a beautiful face. It's going to be such a wondrous face, you don't ever take your eyes off of him. He's so wonderful towards you. For it says, there shall no more be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in the city that's coming. His servants shall worship him, and they shall see his face. His name will be written on their foreheads, and there's going to be no more night. You don't need the lamp of light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So repent, number one. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, number two. And then follow Jesus Christ, number three. And beloved, we're God's children now. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Whoa, glorious day. Change, perfectly pure. And verse 3, and everyone who thus hopes in Jesus purifies himself as Jesus is pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen.